So the closure for us was 3 weeks for Great Oyster Bay, and we never have that. The river is frequently closed for a quick short flood, and that one was closed even longer. So you can't plan for it. You just got to sit it out. Yeah.
So what happens to the oysters themselves when the flood comes through? Why is it that you do close for that period?
Yeah, so it's not so much what the oyster does, it's what's in that water. So we really love the idea that we don't feed our oysters. Our stock is just fed naturally on the algae and whatever's occurring in the water. So in those flood events, we had a lot of walnuts come down our at the jetty just
Walnut.
Here. We had hundreds of walnuts that had come down from the walnut farm. So you can imagine what else might happen in that water. There was a lot of sheep around as well. So there's a coli that can occur, which obviously we don't want people to consume in the oysters. So when the salinity of the river is below a certain point, automatically the rivers are closed for harvesting. And once that salinity is back up again and a sample is complete from the meat that the E. coli is gone, then we can reopen the farms again. Yeah, it's a good system.
But what about, you mentioned obviously the offshore farms in Great Oyster Bay were also closed by it.
Yeah, so it was a lot of water. For us, it was outstanding, the colour of the water that we had. So the Meredith River feeds directly into Great Oyster Bay, and that one had torrential water flowing through there. So it's unusual. Usually it's just the river that's affected, but when there's 80 mil of rain, it's got to go somewhere. Yeah. In 2004, we had a lot of mortalities with that flood. We got the ability to chop off some of our farm that was upstream and move it closer to the river mouth. So in a flood event, we won't have mortalities, and fingers crossed, we haven't noticed anything this time around. So that was really good that we did move that. And what, 15 years later, we've noticed it was useful. Yeah.
Over the past, obviously, year, the pandemic, it's all everyone's talking about. We try and avoid it where we can, but we can't to an extent. That shut down the oyster shack, which was it part of the primary part of your business?
It did become the primary part of our business, the most profitable part of our business. We opened the Oyster Shack in 2016. So prior to that, everything was wholesale to the Melbourne market and just a couple of live bags going to a couple of restaurants in the East Coast. And within 5 years, we developed into a fantastic, busy tourism Oyster Shack. It was our mainstream of income. And post-COVID, it was a dramatic change in visitation. 60% of our visitors were from the Southeast Asian countries. So we tried to dabble and opened again in June for the school holidays in 2020, and demand was just so different. Everybody wanted cooked seafood. They weren't interested in the raw. The domestic market weren't interested in oysters, obviously very different to the Eastern Asian countries that we were used to, who'd come and buy 4 dozen and then 4 dozen and then 4 dozen and just gobbling them away. So we closed again and decided that we needed to really focus on what the business will be for the next 12 months to 2 years. We couldn't see things changing dramatically for us. So we rejigged, contacted all the wholesalers in Melbourne and increased supply to those markets, and very lucky that Ian had kept those contacts going.
I hate the word, but you had to pivot on the spot and look for something else. It's the new buzzword of the day. But when you are changing like that and looking back towards the wholesale that you kind of originally did, how'd that whole process go?
As primary producers and farmers, you are used to being vulnerable to the environment, and you are used to pivoting constantly. I mean, it's the only constant is change in farming. So I found this really, really a struggle, the loss of control over what was going to happen. I mean, in March, we kind of just had this invisible disease that we didn't know where it was, what it was going to do. Exposed my vulnerabilities. I think I liked having a little bit of control. So I found it quite dramatic, having to work out the staffing and just, yeah, as you say, pivoting to what is the future? Do we need the shop at all? And you start thinking about your life as well. We've got young kids. Maybe having that 7-day-a-week business was time to have a change. The wholesale market's going well. You kind of miss it. That's what it probably comes down to.
When you are looking into the near future, you mentioned obviously staying potentially with wholesale for the long term and moving away from the Oyster Shack. Does the Oyster Shack, if we get back towards a normal, but what even is normal anymore, would that be a part of your future?
Yeah, so part of our pivot was to set a date to reopen, and we were committed to doing that. Ian will be continuing the wholesale market up until November. His production plan at the moment is to make sure that I have a lot of oysters for this summer to sell through the Oyster Shack. So we are gearing up for that. So the wholesale market will continue more in the winter months, if we can find that balance when I think Tasmania will go back to its quiet winters. I think we just built up to have almost a no shoulder period in Tasmanians tourism, but I think that's going to happen again. So we'll be able to find that balance and keep production going all year round. As it drops off on the Oyster Shack, we'll pick up the wholesale market.
And are you looking towards expanding the wholesale markets you have already, or have you reached the peak?
I think we've reached our peak. We still want to be a small oyster farm. I think that really helped us with our POMS vulnerability. I think we had a smaller amount of stock than most farms that were hit the hardest. So our theory is a healthy, happy oyster with a lot of water around it has more chance of survival than a crammed up, quite intense farm. So we're still only sticking around the 40,000 dozen sales per year. Sounds like a lot, but we're really just a small oyster farm. Yeah.